The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
There's an ancient call. An ancient call from the Spirit. It's been the call for ages. For men and women who will give their lives to the cause of this mission. Who will sell themselves out for what Jesus is doing in this time. There is a recruitment in the Spirit, says the Lord. And more men are joining that army. More men are joining that camp. More men are giving themselves. And this is a call for the church to arise. For more men to arise and to give themselves to what the Lord is doing, even in this season. In different clusters, in different cities, in different streets. Something is brewing in the Spirit. The world may not know it yet, because it's happening in small corners. But it's all going to come together like shooting stars from different destinations. And they're going to converge at one spot. And it's an explosion of the gospel of Jesus all over the world. And so your corner begin to give yourself what for what he's doing. Give your life to this mission. When he plays his psalm, dance to it. When he gives instructions, respond to it. When he gives directions, dance to it. Never relent back. The only answer to the king is yes, Lord. No negotiations, no buts, but yes, Lord. So give yourself for this mission. I tell you, many are rising in different places, but you may not see them because they're in different clusters, in different local churches, in different assemblies. There's a rising of men, rising of men. But then where you are, begin to do something where you are, because the time is coming and it's no longer far. When the world will see the greatest move God have ever seen. It will not come from the pulpit, it will come from the pew. Different believers all over the place, being trained in secret places for what Yahweh is about to do in these end times. So give yourself to this. That call is coming again. It's an ancient call that's always been there. God is saying, I sought for a man. Man that will rise. Man that will rise. Man that will rise. Man that will rise. Men that will rise. Men that will raise the banner of Jesus up in this season. And those men, such men are rising from this meeting. Many of you are here. This call is coming direct to your spirit. It's going direct to your spirit. He's saying, give up everything. Drop the frivolities. Drop the distractions. Because there is a lot more that God is doing and is about to do. Drop the distractions. And respond to that call. Respond to that call. Respond to that call. Pray in the Holy Ghost where you are. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Particularly in this meeting, just before I start teaching, there's an activation of prophetic graces. I saw that sweep through this place. Five guys, six ladies. The power of God is going to hit them mightily. From the front to the back, activation of heavy prophetic graces. And as I'm talking, it's happening now. As I'm talking, the Spirit of God is breathing through over this meeting. And there's a mighty move of God from the front to the back, from the left to the right. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost Shikete brake kolata. Some of you, your feet won't be able to carry you. That power of God, what you showed in the spirit, lay your hands upon these ones one by one. Sheba te kara. Yes. Five guys, six ladies. I saw that in the spirit. Beledego shana. The power of God is going to come upon them mightily. All of them, their feet will be able to carry them. 11 of them. 11 of them. 11 of them. 11 of them. There are about 7 more of them. 7 more. Thou Holy Ghost, Medika, Prateka, Mendalia, Kusheka. Thou power of God, swept through this place now. I saw that mighty, heavily in the spirit. Spirit of Jesus. Spirit of Jesus. Please count them for me. 11 of them. Okay, don't bother counting. There are 2 more persons. Don't worry, I've done the count in the spirit. There are 2 more persons. Holy Ghost, lay your hands mightily, mightily upon these ones. Spirit of Jesus. Spirit of Jesus. That which is known as the prophetic grace. Mekadi Shakatianda. Make sure you're praying. I just want us to have like 5 minutes. Just pray. Beya ganash. Woo! Ha ha ha! Dega 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 lata. Be flammable throughout this weekend. From last is Sunday. Be flammable. There'll be eruptions in the spirit just like this. Kakagaba de kakabarababe. Degegebebe degebe. Kamaman diadash.
It's like music to my ears. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tunes. I dance.
Some of you that this anointing came upon, you will begin to hear sounds in the spirit from now. You begin to hear sounds. You begin to hear sounds in the spirit. You begin to hear sounds in the spirit. You begin to hear sounds in the spirit. He's hearing. You begin to hear sounds in the spirit. He said, I will tell you things to come. I will tell you things that have been. And I will tell you what is happening even now. There is an opening. Shagagalata. Umbrade Gayada Alada di Corondo Busatitaya Dinadaba shooted the baby Baba Reca Codondo Robotoya. Please pray in the Holy Ghost.
His voice is the music of my hand. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tune. Just call my name and I'll respond, Yahweh. Play your sound and watch me dance. You've drawn me closer with the rhythm of the spirit. Now watch me dancing to your tunes. I dance to the rhythms of Yahweh. His word is the music of my heart. His voice is like music to my ears. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tunes. I dance to the rhythms of Yahweh. His voice is the music of my heart. His word is like music to my ears. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tune. Ha 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 ha. Amante la carrate cotayana. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is mighty in this place. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is mighty in this place. The move of the Holy Ghost is mighty in this place. The move of the Spirit is mighty in this place. The power of God in the name of Jesus. From one person to another. Spirit of God. Yedalaba shandalaba. Ulebe de debe. Udalaba de daba la daba. Woo. 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 Ayayaya garadega shuna. Elede de 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 de. Gospel fire. Yeah. Gospel fire. That thing that comes upon you, you will preach like never before. And you will have a tongue that men cannot resist. As you begin to speak, many shall respond to the gospel. That anointing is dropping in this meeting mightily. Kageta crumble the shinaya. Sweep through this place, Holy Ghost. Stir up something in the heart of many. Hey, hey. Jesus. Going to get interesting after this meeting. What is known in God's word as the working of miracles, the gift of working of miracles, is being distributed now as I'm talking. Nobody will be touched from one person to another, from hand to hand, from person to person, from hungry hearts to hungry hearts, from thirsty tongue to thirsty tongue. That power of God in the name of Jesus, move through this place. Fire is burning in different centers. It's burning in different places. Someone is sitting on his pallor on a black couch as I'm talking. A black couch as I'm talking. The power of God is hitting you right there. It's a young man I'm talking to. The anointing of God is hitting you right there. Working of miracles. That anointing is my the guy. Hallelujah. I met a man so full of peace. He came to me and gave me peace. He made my life so free from pain. Hallelujah. I met a man so full of grace. He came to me and gave me grace. He made my life so free from guilt. Hallelujah. I met a man so full of love. He came to me and gave me love. He made my life so free from sorrows. Have you met this man so full of love? When he comes to you, he will give you love. He will make your life so free from sin. When you meet this man so full of grace, he will come to you and give you grace. He will make your life so free from sin. I met this man so full of peace. He came to me and gave me peace. He made my life so free from sin. You know that the song in my spirit is for someone here. Each or do is you do who don't get Jesus name. Wake up Jesus, but I no biggie. Each or do is you do who don't get Jesus name. Wake up Jesus, but I no biggie. Njogi koge bubu abali waroke hiye. Njogi koge bubu abali awaroke hiye. Njogi koge bubu abali awaroke hiye. Kweka Jesus bata no bigi. Njogi koge bubu abali awaroke hiye. Njogi koge bubu abali awaroke hiye. Njogi koge bubu abali awaroke hiye. Sister, wake up Jesus. Bata. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest behind the river. My soul has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His blood for me shall bleed. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Undum di na kagi ekwaro bi nwa ibu ebe mbabam okume nke mwebi ebi. Otu ahi di na mbu otu ahu kidi mbukwa. Chineke nke ndi mbuchie undum di na kagi chekwa obi nkoma. Ibu nebe mbaba mkume nke mwebi ebi. Otu ahi di na mbu otu ahu kidi rubwa. Chineke nke ndi mbuchie undum di na akagi chekwa obi nwa. Ibu nebe mbaba nkume nke mwebi ebi. Otu ahi di na mbu otu ahu kidi rubwa. Chineke kidi mbuchie. Just pray. You have 5 minutes before I teach the word. Just pray. Kume kimwe biebi. Otu ahi di na mbu otu ahu kidi rubwa. Chineke kimbi mbuchie. Ania de comera de la barate yo compreta le cadia de la barate. Jide de bede 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 shania de la badaya. Ai no no modia en da bu Jehova. Ojo wa inene tuno. En da bu Jehova. Ojo wa inene tuno. En da fa mojo kidabu. O Jehova inene tuno. En da fa mojo kidabu. O Jehova inene tuno. Ene da fa mocho kidabu. O Jehova inene duno. Ene da fa mocho kidabu. O Jehova inene duno. 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 In a net, Digo nye di ka chineke Kaya
Ibeluwa Digo nye di ka chineke Ibeluwa Ibeluwa Digo nye di ka chineke Ibeluwa Ibeluwa Digo nye di ka chineke
The King of Glory. Do it again.
The Lord of hosts.
Yes.
The King of Glory.
Aya.
now, we are having a meeting in the office, and you know, we are thinking of whether we are going to carry out an outreach somewhere. And I've sent people to make inquiries, but now the Lord is bringing that as an instruction. We are going to Essex. We are going to Essex next month for an outreach. Okay, before Zoe. Okay, we are going to gather the students. I'm not saying you should come, I'm just telling you what is going to happen. You get the point? I saw massive lights shine into that school. I saw lights shine into that school. And I tell you, by November, it's going to be glorious. Many men coming to Jesus. Lift your hands. Pray one prayer. Say, Father, anything you want to do in this generation, count me in. Just pray that prayer. Just pray that. Whatever you want to do with your people in this generation, count me in. I want to be part of what you are doing. What I just announced to you now, I don't have the logistics yet, but that Lord just said it now, and it's going to happen by God's word. Just say, Father, whatever you are doing with your people, count me in. I want to be a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I really want to teach today. I've just been trying to hold myself back because a lot of things has come into my spirit. Next tomorrow, we're having a special weekend, right? Special school of ministry. And I'm going to have time. Especially Saturday. Especially Saturday. We're going to have a lot of time to do heavy impartations. You cannot finish kind of 30 days meeting and you don't expect anything like that to happen. That's what I'm saying. Even if I don't say anything, God is going to just move. Get your seat. Hold your neighbor. Start praying in tongues. Just sit down. Hold your neighbor. And start praying in the Holy Ghost. Hold your neighbor's hand. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's have our seats. Let me see what we can do within this short time. So we've been talking about the house of God. So yesterday I introduced something to us. The fact that the house of God, the church, is the house of prayer. So give me that Isaiah 56 verse 7. I'm saying give me because I'm getting for you to open your Bible. But once you are done opening your Bible, we will not be using the screen so that you can have your Bible. It says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So the desire of God is that his house will be called a house of prayer. And we looked at that extensively yesterday. How that God wants prayer. Let me say what I said yesterday again. Some of you that are here for the first time or second time or third time, let me restate what I said yesterday. You should never go into a church and complain that prayer is too much. Because the house of God was ordained to be primarily a house of prayer. You can never, people go to church there, well, let's not pray too much. Why I don't like that church? That they pray too much. Why I like that church? That they don't pray too much. Let me give you very simple stuff. You shouldn't like any church that does not pray too much. Because the house of God is the house of prayer. Just like I always say this, you can't go to a restaurant and you're complaining that there is too much food. You should actually complain if there is no food. Two predominant things that must go on in church is prayer and the word. Say amen. The word of God and prayer. That are the two predominant. They must, beyond, above everything that must happen in church, you see the word of God and prayer. So when we are praying in church, you don't stand around. You join. Because the house of God is a house of prayer. If we decide to pray for 8 hours, it will never be too much. We saw all of that yesterday and all of that. But there's something that I actually want to show you. Still from this verse, okay? Because I'm still looking at the fact that this is the house of prayer. Now, I'm going to show you this word prayer. When the Bible says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, this word prayer used here is from an interesting Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is tefillah. Now, not tehillah now. Tefillah. So I'm going to spell it for you. And you wonder why am I showing you this word. You see where I'm going with this.
Tefillah. Tefillah. That word actually means, it's not just, what I'm showing you that word is, the word tefillah in the Hebrew, it's not just talking about prayer as we know it. It means intercession, quite alright. It means supplication, quite alright. But it also means him. You know him? H-Y-M-N. It also means him. So what I'm trying to show is that when the Bible is saying the house of God is going to be a house of prayer, it's not just talking about prayer as we know it. That is also, that word also implies that in God's house, we will sing hymns. They will sing songs. You get the point? That's why when you hear people teach on the house of God being a house of prayer, they always say the house of God is supposed to be a house of prayer and worship. That's how it always appears in most books you read. Prayer and worship. Because in the word prayer in this particular verse, there is also him, also singing inside. So you find out one of the things that was going on in church is that song. I want to talk about that singing part today. Is that okay? I want to talk about that singing part today. So it tells us that in the house of God, prayer and worship must be going on in God's house. Prayer and singing. Prayer and singing. Prayer and worship must go on in God's house. Prayer and worship. Are you still here? Let me show you something. So what kind of worship does God want in his house? Because I want to take time. I've done this, but I want to do it again. I want to clear, to just take like 15 minutes to explain worship. What worship is and the kind of worship that God wants. When we say that we should worship God in his house, what do we mean by that? Does God accept anything we sing to him? I get what I'm saying. Does he accept anything we say? And if he doesn't accept anything we sing, why? What will he accept and what will he not accept? What are the things we'll sing and God will say, oh wow, that's okay? Because people think that any song you sing and you put Jesus inside is a gospel song. And they think just because you're accepting Jesus inside, then it's a gospel song. And if they don't hear Jesus in a song, it's not a gospel song. So what is worship? So let me show you. John chapter 4, verse 20. John chapter 4. I'll wait for you to get it. If your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, you help the person with your own Bible so that both of you can be looking into the Bible together. So this was an encounter Jesus had with a woman on the mount, a woman of Samaria. And the woman told Jesus, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem. When you say, it's referring to Jesus as a Jew. So he's saying, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but the Jews are saying that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So they were fighting over, she was arguing over the location of worship. Are you here? Now, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh. Now pay attention to this. The hour cometh when you shall neither in this mount nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He said, you worship what you worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. So what kind of worship is God looking for? He's looking for worship in spirit and in truth. It is now left for us to define what that means. Because for some people, worship in spirit is when you sing slow songs and you're playing strings on the keyboard and everybody shouting, glory, glory, glory. And that's what they understand by worship in the spirit. But it's actually far from that. Jesus said he wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, let me show you something. What they were discussing here was not about singing. Actually, she said, you say you guys worship in Jerusalem, we worship on the mountain. Do you think they go up to that mountain to go and sing? No. They go up to those mountains to make sacrifices. So they were arguing for where God would be worshipped. It wasn't primarily about singing. Are you following me? And let me help you with that. The word worship in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word shakar. Let me spell that for you. That's the reason I'm giving you this. It's the Hebrew word shakar. It simply means, now, it's not just about singing, actually. It means to make obeisance. It means to bow down. So I'm going to use the screen now. Genesis 18 verse 2. So that just as a teaching aid now. Genesis 18 verse 2. You see that word appear again. And that's the first time that word was used. Worship. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. That's the word shaka. So he worshipped. Are you get what I'm saying? That's the word shaka. You find that in Genesis 19 verse 1, just the next verse. You see the same thing. They bowed themselves. Genesis 19 verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot seeing them, rose up to meet them. He bowed himself with his face. So we see the word shaka, worship, happening again and again in the Old Testament, but there is no music yet. So they bow themselves. Genesis 23 verse 7. Genesis 23 and verse 7. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land. That's shaka. Bowed himself. Verse 12. Verse 12. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. He bowed. That's the same word used for worship. Chapter 24 verse 26. Chapter 24 verse 26. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. So, worship in the Hebrew is not primarily about singing. It's about, you know, they make obeisance. Is that okay? You look at, again, Exodus 4:31. I'm going somewhere with this. It's going to make a lot of sense to you. Exodus 4:31. And the people believed, and when they had heard, that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then bowed their heads and worshipped. That's the word shaka. So how did they worship? They bowed their head. So they didn't bow their head and they started singing. They bowed their head and they worshipped. I'm trying to show you that worship primarily is not, about singing. Are you following me? Are you following me? The Greek version of this word, because the Hebrew is shaka. You know why we are using Hebrew? Because the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language. It's not like we like the Hebrew language. Now, when I say the Greek version of that word, I mean how that word was rendered in the New Testament. Because New Testament was written in Greek. That should be clear enough. That word is proskuneo. Let me just give it to you. You don't need to know the word. You just need to know the meaning. Proskuneo. It means the same thing that this shaka means. It means to bow. To make obeisance. In Matthew 4 verse 9, you see that word used. Matthew 4 and verse 9. That one was called worship. You will see it very clearly. Read to me, everybody. Matthew 4 verse 9. Are you there? Let's go together. Who was talking? Satan was talking to Jesus. Saying, if you fall down and worship me. Proskuneo. So he's not saying bow down and begin to sing. I get what I'm saying. So worship primarily in the Bible is not about singing. If you bow down and worship. In John 4 verse 20, you find the same word used. John 4 verse 20. Okay, quickly. John 4. He said, our fathers worshipped in this mount. That's the same word used there. Where we started from. So the woman was not saying, our fathers sang on this mount. And you guys are saying we should sing on the other mountain. That's what I'm talking about. He was talking about worship, not just about singing. In practice in the Old Testament, when they want to worship God, they don't just come and bow. They always bring an object of worship. Please follow what I'm going to show you, because to help you understand what true worship is. Every time they want to worship in the Old Testament, they want to worship God in particular, they will always bring an object of worship. For instance, in Genesis 22 verse 4, Abraham and Isaac, we are going to the mountain to go and worship God. So Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Watch this, verse 5. And read with me, everybody. I want everybody to read. I want to see this. Let's start again. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Is it we'll go there and sing? Are you following? So they were going to go and worship. Now see the next verse. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac, and he took the fire. Continue verse 7. Isaac said to his father, my father, and he said, yeah, my said, behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb? Because he understands that when you are going to worship, you must go with something. I even know what I'm talking about. So worship in the Old Testament, worship of God in the Old Testament, was not actually primarily about singing. It wasn't even about just bowing down. You must go with something. Something. A lamp. Something that you are as an object of the worship. So Abraham told the men in verse 4, and we are going to go and worship. And Isaac said, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? In other words, where is the lamb for the worship? I get what I'm saying? What are we using for worship? So you don't just say, worship is not just about lifting and saying, oh, Father will thank you. No. You go with a lamp. Now, so that's why you understand what that woman was asking. You people are saying that it's on this mount that we should worship. Whereas we are saying it's on this mount. You guys are saying it's in Jerusalem. Who are saying it's on this mount? She wasn't talking about you guys are saying that in Jerusalem we should be singing. She was saying, you guys are saying in Jerusalem, burnt offering should be made unto the Lord. We were saying it's on this mount. So worship in the Old Testament was basically about bringing an offering. Bringing burnt offering to the Lord. That's what is called worship. Do you follow to this point? Let me show other examples in the Bible. We use the script for now so that we can see what I'm saying. In 1 Samuel 1 verse 3. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. So this man was going to be here to worship God. What was the worship he was going to do? He was going to sacrifice unto the Lord. So the worship they were doing, it's not that they get to Shiloh and they start clapping. It is that they get to Shiloh and they make sacrifices. That's what is called worship. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So worship is beyond clapping. In fact, worship is not even singing. I'll still show you what singing, where singing comes into all of this business. Are you here? Now, maybe something from the New Testament. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. Saying, start from verse 1 so that you know who was saying. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. I wanted to say three wise men. But you know there's nothing like that in the Bible. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to talk to him. We have come to worship him. So go to verse 11. When they came to worship Jesus, what did they do? Verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him and opened their treasure and presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So when they were coming to worship, they came with something. Because worship is not just to come. You must bring something. I get the point. So they didn't just come to worship. They didn't just come to lie down and start saying, oh, Father, you are the King of Peace. That wasn't the basic thing. They brought something. So are you saying every time we come to worship, you must bring money? Don't hear what I didn't say. I'm just laying foundation for where we're going to. So every time you are supposed to worship in the Old Testament, you come with an object of worship. Now, it's not what you are saying that makes you accepted. It is the lamb that you brought. When that lamb is sacrificed for you, then whatever you are saying will now be accepted. So even if you come to Shiloh and you are singing, your singing is accepted on account of the lamb that you've given. You see what I'm talking about here now? So it is when you so if you've not brought that lamb, you've not worshipped. That lamb is the object of the worship. Because everybody that comes to worship, you can bow, you can shout, you can do whatever, but you must bring a lamb. Is it clear to us? So Jesus was showing in that John chapter 4 that we read that this worship that we just explained now will not be on any other mountain. Because what were they doing in Jerusalem? They were making sacrifices. What were they doing on the other mountain? They were making sacrifices. Just saying it will not be in any of those places. It will actually be in spirit and in truth. Why did he say truth? Because remember again that all those sacrifices they were making in the Old Testament were shadows of the reality to come. They were not the real thing. They were offering sacrifices in view of what Christ will do. So the lamb wasn't the main thing. Do you follow? Are you following what I'm saying? Is someone confused? So when they bring the lamb to sacrifice the Old Testament, why were they bringing that lamb? They were bringing those lambs, I'll show you in the Bible now, to illustrate the fact that the time is going to come when Jesus, the Lamb of God, will be sacrificed. So we call those lambs that are bringing, we call them a shadow, not with the Bible, I'll show you shortly. The Bible calls them a shadow of what is to come. So they were bringing those lambs, illustrating and representing how Jesus will be sacrificed for them. So Jesus now said that the real worship or the real sacrifice, God wants people that will sacrifice him in that will sacrifice to him in spirit and in truth, in reality, no longer in shadows. I get what I'm saying. Colossians 2:16. Let me show you this. Colossians 2:16 with New Living Translation. Let's read together, everybody, if you're there. Let's go. Don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holidays or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. Verse 17. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. Christ himself is that reality. So when there were all of those things were not the main thing. The main thing was Christ. So Jesus is saying the worship that the Father will start demanding from now will no longer be shadows. It will be worship in truth. The real thing. Now you see where I'm going with this now. So he said he wants people that worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So as the men of the... Now watch what I'm going to say now. Look at this verse again. Who is the reality of the sacrifices? Jesus, right? Right? What is the reality of that lamb they were bringing? Christ. What is the reality of all those blood they were spilling? The blood of Christ. I get the point. That's why we don't do that now, because the reality has come. So let me show you what worship is. What true worship is. Jesus is saying that as the men of the Old Testament came with their animal sacrifices when they are coming to worship, you too must bring something, but not their shadow, but the reality. What do you bring? You bring the sacrifice of Jesus as you are coming. So true worship is not people that are singing and shouting and rolling on the floor. There are people who are coming on account of the sacrifice of Jesus, not on account of animal sacrifices made. Are you following what I'm talking about? So it's not actually about rolling or somersaulting or hitting your floor or your head on the ground. So we come on account of his sacrifice. This is what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. So when he says God wants true worshippers are those who are not coming with lamb, who are not coming with goats, who are not coming with cattle, who are coming with the real thing, what all those animals represented, that is Christ himself. So when I appear before God and I begin to praise God, Father, you are good, you are this and all of that, and I'm saying it on account of what Jesus has done, my worship is accepted. Let me show you Hebrew 13 verse 8. Give me NLT. Everybody please watch what we are going to see now. Are you here? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, so do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Verse 10. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle, talking about the Old Testament, have no right to eat. Under the old system, watch what is happening. The high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also, Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. Is it clear to us? Now verse 13. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. Verse 14. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Verse 15 now. Therefore, let us, through Jesus, offer a continual sacrifice of praise to God. So, is it good to praise God? Yes, but how do we offer it? Through Jesus. On account of what Jesus has done. On account of everything he showed us that Jesus has done. So, we offer praise to him. Do you follow to this point?
So, see what I'm saying? Put up like King James of this verse. Read with me like a mass choir. Are you ready? Let's do it together. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks. So should we give thanks to God with our lips? Yes. How do we do that? By Him. By Him. What does by Him mean? By everything He has done on the cross. As a result of everything He has done on the cross, let us offer. So see what I'm saying. If someone is singing now, I don't know why I'm running ahead of myself. If someone is singing and is singing, now this guy is a believer, he's saved, and he's singing, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, yeah. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Now, and the strings is playing, and we are all shouting, praying in tongues, into my heart. Is that true worship? No. Why? By the reason of what Jesus has done, Jesus already lives in the heart of every believer. So when a believer is saying, Jesus, come into my heart, he is denying what Jesus has done. He's saying that Jesus is not living in his heart. So we can't call that true worship, because that worship is not coming through him. You are not coming by what he has done on the cross. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So true worship is not about slow or fast song. It's actually singing, praising, shouting, all of that on account of what Jesus has done. As a result of what he has done, that's why we are singing. Do you get what I'm saying? If you go by what I just explained to you now, you find out that many songs we sing and we are shouting, we are celebrating, are not actually true worship. Do you get what I'm saying? Just like that example I gave you yesterday. Because some of you are wondering, why did you talk about that song? Let me talk about the song again today. So people gathered and they were singing that your enemy will pick containers on the street. Your enemy will go naked. And you know, have you seen that song? Huh? If you've not seen it, don't see it. Now, and it was a very, very, I wanted to say spiritual environment, but it wasn't spiritual. They were just singing passionately. And if they had continued that for like 5 to 10 minutes, someone will be rolling under the anointing. That your enemy will pick container. Your enemy will go naked on the street. No matter how much they are shouting, can we call that true worship? No. Because in the sacrifice of Jesus, he made room for all men to come to salvation, not for them to die or run mad. So it's not actually about the emotions a song creates in your heart. It's about you come by him. So you get to the Old Testament and you're shouting, whatever you're shouting, all they're asking you is, where is your sacrifice? Where is the lamb that you brought? That same way, Jesus has died once and for all. We can't come with Jesus as a sacrifice. We now come and account, acknowledging what he has done. That's what I want to say. You come acknowledging. So any song that denies what Jesus has done cannot be called true worship. Any song, no matter the singer, no matter who, no matter whether it may be from ourselves when they were singing, but it's denying what Jesus has done, we can't call that true worship. True worship is only when our songs, now our songs, worship is not about singing. Whether we are singing or we are talking. Important is that what we say in praise to God does not deny or negate what Jesus has done on the cross. So our obeisance, singing, lifting hands should be for what he has done. So when our songs do not speak of him or his works, we are not offering true worship. So any song I begin to sing and it's like it's negating what Jesus has done, I'm not worshiping God in truth and in spirit. Are you following what I'm talking about here now? So that when we start singing, or when you hear a song playing, do not just jump in because of the lyric, because of the rhythm. Or, that's why I can tell you, half of what we call the move of the spirit in church is just emotions. Let me tell you what I mean. If I start singing
Now, this is actually a very big issue, and I wanted to sync up all this. If I start singing, what? Give me a good song now where I can sing. Is it? Say anything. I'm here. I'm not going. Say something. A good song. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Let's use that. I'm no longer a slave. If I start singing this song, maybe she takes the mic. It's not me. I start singing, I'm no longer... Forget the voice. Imagine she's not singing. A slave to sin. And they are playing on the strings. I am a child. And then you are praying. I'm no longer... Now, if that moves you, nothing's wrong with that. But if we sing that song faster, I'm no longer a slave, and it doesn't have that same emotions, it doesn't move you that same way, then you are not dancing to your rhythm. You are dancing... You are not dancing to the lyrics. You are dancing to the rhythm. That's why most of things that go on in church will call spirituality is sensationalism. Not spirituality. Because if actually we say we are being moved by a song, we should not be moved by the flow and the tempo of the song. Of course, in making music, there are things you can do. If you are professional in making music, you can make music should carry emotions and what have you. I understand that part. But you as the believer, your interest is not, I don't know that song. It's not sweet. It's not sounding well. Your interest is, what is the song saying? You saw what I'm talking about here. What is the song saying? What is the message this song is passing? What do I have to learn from this song? Is this song, so that's why today, tomorrow, we can pick up any song. And I'm saying this because that's what's doing in our generation now. We can pick up any song, any terrible song, and put strings on it. Do you understand? Give me strings on the keyboard. Give me strings on the keyboard. Just something else, something very, very demure. Just give me strings on the keyboard. You see this thing? You want to pray already. Anything I sing here will enter. What terrible thing can I sing now? Anything. Yeah, play it. Play this song. Abu Maja Darada Chineke Ule Melu. You see, if I continue, we'll pray. Not because of anything I'm saying, but because what I'm playing is giving the vibe. Christian music is not vibe. It is wardens. Do you know if she's played that thing? Play it. I can sing any secular song here. And you will pray. Do you understand? Because all of you, God, all of you, love your curves and all your edges. All your back. You see, you are shouting. Now, this is actually what we do in worship concerts. We go there to get excited. We don't go there to listen to whatever we're singing. Trust me, if you don't know this song before and the preacher resists this song, in that mood, the way you'll be praying, if he does it, is that after some time when you go home and they play, replay the thing, you say, is it Jesus who love his curves and edges? Say, Pastor, so you know that song, forget it. I was not born inside church. Say amen. I'm saying that is not, I'm not against this flow, but that's actually not what it is. Because people think that once your song is not moving in that way, then you're not doing true worship. That's not true worship. No matter the rhythm, no matter whatever, once we are singing the song of Jesus, what he has done, that's what we mean by Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What is spiritual song? People think there are two people. People think that spiritual song is any song that moves the spirit, evokes the spirit. That's not what a spiritual song is. Others think it's any song that you don't know that are singing. That's also not what a spiritual song is. That's just a part definition. Spiritual song simply means songs of the spirit. Now, the word spiritual in that verse means is the Greek word pneumatikos. Pneumatikos means things, watch what I'm going to say, things of the spirit, things from the spirit, things by the spirit. So, a spiritual song is a song from the spirit, by the spirit, a song of the spirit. So, it's not just now, it's about where the song is coming from. Let me show you how to identify a spiritual song. How to identify a song of the spirit. It's not hard to see. What does the spirit of God do without singing? What is the job of the spirit of God? John 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. Please watch what I'm going to show you. John 14, 26. Read it to everybody. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I've said to you. So, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? To bring into remembrance what Jesus has said to you. John 16, verse 13. I'm using the screen today because, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it to you. So the Spirit of God will get from Jesus and show it to you. What this simply means is that the Spirit of God will not negate what Jesus stands for in talking to you. So you can't say, well, I got that song by the Spirit. The Spirit testifies of Jesus. The Spirit speaks of Jesus. The Spirit speaks of what Jesus has done on the cross. The Spirit speaks of the sacrifice of Jesus. So when we are singing a song of the Spirit, it has to be a song that glorifies Jesus. It has to be a song that shows what Christ has done on the cross. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Give me NLT. Let's sing together like a mass choir. Let's go together. We have received God's Spirit, not the world spirit. What is the work of God's Spirit? Read it with me. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So what is the work of the Holy Spirit? To show you the things that God has freely given to you. So when you say you got a song from the Spirit, this is what you should be singing. So spiritual song is not a matter of how it's sounding. It's a song from the Spirit. To show us the wonderful things God has given us. Verse 13. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come in human form. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit words to explain spiritual truths. So when spiritual truths are explained, it will show you what you actually have in Christ Jesus. So that's a spiritual song. Say amen. So I'm saying this because the church should be a house where we worship. But it's not a place where any song can find expression. It's not a place where we can sing anything that comes to our mind. Just because we can claim it came from the Spirit. Oh. And the fact that you are frowning your face to sing it does not move us. And that's why sometimes when you see me in meetings, sometimes, worship meetings especially, you have to really know me to know me. Because once they start, I just want to hear what you are singing. I want to hear what you are singing. I'm not easily moved by all your emotions. Now, I can dance to, I can vibe to anything, any beat, rap, anything. Once I can hear what you are saying, and it's glorifying Jesus, that's what is called true worship. It's not negating what Christ has done, that's what is called true worship. You can't be singing off point, singing things that don't exist in the Bible. Now, there are things I don't get the arguments online. But there are some arguments that came up, you know, some months ago about a man of God was saying a certain song was not scriptural. And people were shouting and fighting because they liked the singer that sang it. And if you know the argument I'm talking about, that song is still not scriptural. It's not. It doesn't matter how it makes you feel. You know what I'm saying? You can't sing your mind into the Bible. You can't make the Holy Ghost say what he doesn't say normally. Because if you can make him say anything, then you are God. He's not. The reason God is God is because he cannot change his mind. He's God. No matter what you do, he stands. He stands where he stands. Let me show you an example. Revelation 5 verse 9. This one is in heaven. John had a vision. And they were singing, angels were singing in heaven. All the, some of you like angels. Hallelujah. We joined the angels to worship. Look at what the angels were singing. They sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is what the angels were singing. It's not what I'm talking about. Because this, your song must never, I'm not saying every song must be Jesus that I rose again. But your song must never negate God's character. So if I'm singing, the Lord of hosts, the King of, that's a good one. Because God is actually the God of hosts. You get the point? It doesn't speak against the character of God. But you cannot go and forge and coin things. Have you ever had a song, had a full song? Line one and line two, you don't even, they don't, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. That's it. Let me not. Because my wife is my partner. I told her, the song is just playing in the car, and I'm tell her, what are they trying to say? Then she will try to say, maybe, I say nothing. Because sometimes I ask the singer what they're trying to say. And let me tell you, you see the way teaching ministry should be simple. That's how singing should be simple. How many of you ever sang a hymn and you're wondering what they're saying? It's very clear. God of those ancient hymns, it's very clear. If it's not correct, it's not correct. If it's correct, it's correct. It's very clear what they're saying. They're singing their conviction. I think the major problem is because we have monetized music in Nigeria, as in gospel music in Nigeria. So, just like what we do with creating content now, that's what is happening in music. So the gospel artists can just sit down and say, it don't tell why I release song go. That's the problem. It don't tell, let my fame not finish. We've started signing them to record labels. So because they're in record labels, you know when on the record label, you have to deliver. Because the record label has to eat. So you just jump into the studio and just say, give me beat. And just not saying anything. Now you know the thing, because you are popular, it will sell. But that's not the point. That's why there are songs, every healthy church, there are songs that should never make it to your altar. And any day it makes it to your altar, you must counter, you must deal with it. You can't come here, you are singing, nobody say I decrease, now God I decrease. You can't do that here. Say whatever you like. I say you can't sing it here. First of all, nobody said you are crazy before. And that song is not praise. It's not worship. Say, now God, I dey praise. Now God, I dey praise. Now God, I dey praise. Now God, what are you doing? And then you start scattering things. Let me say something to you. I believe there's a restoration going on in the church. We will get it right. And if you think it's because you don't like that singer, actually, the person that sang that song is one of my best Igbo singers, actually. If you know me very well. So I have nothing against that. I just say that thing. There's nothing she's saying. It's not even wrong. It's not even wrong. There's nothing being said. That God, I pray. It's just like this song. I did it when I was young. Oh, 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 oh. Radical for Jesus. But there are some things, and it can scatter this place. So I'm just giving that example. I'm just trying to say, I wish we can, you know, I say it all the time. That's why when the whole chanting argument came up in the church, I was happy that argument came up, because it means somebody is beginning to think and ask questions. That's why don't stem everything attack. Everything is not attack. The reason why God gave us brains so that we can ask questions. You know what I'm saying? You're able to ask questions. What is this? If you are singing for 1 hour, we want to know what are you doing so that we can join you and do it. It's not like we are attacking you. We just want to understand what you are doing so that we can also do with you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because everything, have you not seen the Bible? Everything in the Bible has explanation. Singing in the spirit is explained. Everything in the Bible can be explained. So why can't you explain? You say it's that you won't understand. Don't say you won't. I can understand. It is given to me to understand the things of the kingdom. Explain it. Just that there is no explanation. So I'm saying, look at what they sang in heaven. They were not singing mystical things here, but they were singing, put this in any translation, NLT. Let's read it together. You can put it as you can give it reading. So it becomes song. Let's go. And they sang a new song with this. So what are they singing? You are worthy to take this throne and break his seal. Now, this is what they were singing. My point is, you could hear them. You know, it was so clear that John woke up from the vision and he could still remember what they sang. They didn't sing chants. They didn't sing mystical things. They sang something in a known language that John could write it down. That should make sense. So, we should sing spiritual songs. Do you know the truth? Something I'm going to say this to you. You see all these spiritual songs you are singing on earth here. If you really get a song from the spirit, heaven knows it's from the spirit. Listen, it's not only be sang on earth here. When you get to heaven, you hear singing it, even in heaven. I'm not joking. Any song from the spirit here, you hear it in heaven. Revelation 15 verse 3. Let me show you this. Any song on earth, when you get there, Revelation 15 verse 3. On that record. It said, and they sing, go verse 2 now, from verse 1. Amen. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. What were they doing? They were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Bible will tell you, this song of Moses was the song Moses actually wrote in the book of Exodus. So I think Exodus 15 or so. He wrote a full song. So in heaven, that song, they were singing it in heaven. So where do you think the songs you sing heaven will come from? It's a song of the spirit. It came from there. So if it came from there, we'll still sing it. Do you get the point? So every time, imagine the redeemed gathering over the heaven and they're singing Yaga, 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 Yaga. No, they wouldn't do that. We'll sing songs that glorify the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that is able to take the scroll, that was slain for our sins, that redeemed us and ransomed us. We'll sing all those things. That's what we are singing. It's not, we are not going there to make noise. So you see, the difference between Christian gospel and secular music is not the beat, it's actually in what we are singing. This house should be a house of worship, where the true worship of the King goes up to him. While we are doing that, we could dance. That's something I thought I was going to show you, but I don't have time for it now. But you know, I've shown you earlier, there are different words used for worship and praise in the Old Testament. There is yada. Remember that? There is yada, there is toda, all of those things. In other words, we can shout, we can scream, we can dance, we can sing. All of them, we should do. All of them, when we're worshiping God, put your heart to it. But then, in put your heart to it, pay attention, what are they singing? So that even if the instrument is off, you can still connect with the spirit, because they're not dancing to the keyboard, they're dancing to what we are singing. I get what I'm saying now. So let me close this. Let me skip all of that and close this. Listen, God has a plan. Because Amos chapter 9 verse 11. Because I just want to show you this. Oh, hallelujah. I still love this story, what I want to say now. He said, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches. So Amos prophesied that in the last days, that the tabernacle of David shall be raised up. What is the tabernacle of David? Because if you read Acts chapter 15 verse 16, Paul referred again to this prophecy. He said that after this I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen. And I will build again the ruins thereof and I will set it up. So they kept saying that tabernacle of David will be restored. Now, of course, part of what they're talking about here, majorly, was the fact that the Gentiles and everybody can now come into the house of God and worship him. But then there is some other thing that happened in that tabernacle of David. And let me show you that. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 4. This is beautiful. I've taught this many times. This is beautiful. And David appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. And to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. In fact, let me tell you this by showing the Bible. David appointed, watch what I'm going to show you, 4,000 musicians. 4,000. 4,000 gatekeepers. And 288 people he called prophetic singers, who were their leaders. And they made worship. They kept singing in that David's tabernacle. Throughout, David reigned for 33 years. And this went on for 33 years, non-stop, morning, afternoon, night. So, if you read your Bible, you will see, how did they do it? They said, in our generation, I would say, they did rooster. It's in the Bible, actually. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5. They did rooster. Rooster. Moreover, 4,000 were potters. 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise thee with. Because of our time, go to chapter 25, verse 7, because he gave us all the names of all of them. And so the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were calling, they were 288. So there were men, the Bible said, they were instructed in the song of the Lord. These guys were special singers, leaders, prophetic singers set apart by David. They were 288. Put up a penalty of this. Then 4,000 others that were also singers. We could call them maybe backup or what have you. Then 4,000 gatekeepers who will walk around the house to make sure, we can call them ushers. And this went on for how many years? 33 years. Non-stop. That is what we call the house of God. So yesterday I showed you how prayer should go on in the house of God all the time. You're seeing worship. So that's why that word I gave you, that word prayer. So he's telling you, when he's saying prayer should go in the house of God, it wasn't just prayer. It was also worship. So in that house, they will pray, they will offer sacrifices, they will sing for 33 years, non-stop, morning, after, every time you come in there, they're singing and worshiping God. So that was the tabernacle. There's never been anything like this. So after he died, that thing stopped. Amos said, the Lord is going to raise all that tabernacle again. Peter prophesied about it. Now, this is what God wants to happen in his church. We might not be able to be coming every time to sing, but in church, there must be that prayer and worship atmosphere that must go on consistently. As much as we can. And when that happens, you will expect mighty move of spirit. Imagine a church where, I was talking about prayer yesterday, where we are praying all the time. Worshipping, not just singing any kind of crazy song. Worshipping God in the beauty of his holiness. Singing unto his name. Singing the songs of the Lamb. We are doing that all the time. You come in there and your life will not remain the same. Even without anybody touching you, healings will be happening. Yeah. So, when I have to say this because some of you think, this pastor does not like singers. That's not actually true. If you don't like singers, if you don't like singing, if you don't like praise, you don't know the Bible. It's there in God's word. You get the point? Just that there's a way it should be done. So this was so orderly. 4,000 guys. 4,000 mass choir. So they were separated in groups. In groups. So you are singing on Monday from 6 a.m. to 12. The other one will sing from 12 to 6. You guys from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. The other one from 12 a.m. like that. For 33 years. Are you guys what I'm saying now? So you see the kind of results that some of these people had. David is busy fighting war, they're singing, raising praises to God, as raising their voices to heaven. That man will not lose any battle. Don't bother about that. You will not. Because when we begin to love on the Lord like that, we always know that His presence comes in tangibly. Yes, we know He's always with us. But you begin to feel that. You begin to sense that. But that's why we have meetings like Zoe that we're going to have a lot of time. There will be time to sing. But this is a good time to say. This is why when you come into church or programs, singing, praise and worship is actually not a time to look around while we're waiting for the pastor to come up. No. No, sir. This is actually the reason why I lead you to sing. God gave me a revelation some years ago. He said there is something that happens when a pastor leads their members to sing. Yeah. So I started doing that. Whether I know how to sing or not, I started doing that. And even if you are deaf, if I sing, you will know I cannot sing. But even if you are dumb, if I sing, you know the power of God is on ground. Why? When a pastor leads his people to worship like that, you open up the people for mighty moves of God. So David said that's all. Every time. Every time. You see how David loved God's presence. So whenever he was less busy in his house, he would just go in there and worship. Hallelujah. And worship. That's why every time David went on exile, he got to read all his prayers. He was just remembering Jerusalem. How I will return. That song that we do in this church, I've seen your mighty works. That song came from that part where David was saying, I want to gaze upon your power. The way I gazed upon it in Jerusalem. Because he sets this thing up in Jerusalem, that every time praise and worship was going on, prayer was going on. That atmosphere, you can't lose there. You can't lose there. So when Solomon built his temple, he was not able to achieve this 24 hours thing. But he did something. I'll show you this. 2 Chronicles 5 verse 11. That should be my last scripture for today. 2 Chronicles 5 verse 11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, this was after they built Solomon's temple. For all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. You know what it means? Normally, they wait turn by turn. But because all of them ministered together that day. And also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, so they came with instruments. They stood at the east end of the altar. And with them, 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came to pass that as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with their trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good. You see what they were singing? They were not just making noise. What were they singing? For He is good and His mercy endureth forever. Is this something we can sing? They were not singing Hagatu to Konkom. For He is good, His mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Verse 14, even the priests could not minister. So whenever we have that kind of atmosphere, people like just lifting their hands, expect that mighty move. That's why when we have meetings like Zoe, we must have that special time where we lift up our hands and worship God every day. And that's not because that's the order how to do program. After opening prayer, praise and worship. Then after that, that's not the reason why we're doing that. It's because it's a necessary thing that must go on in the house of the Lord. Because my house should be a house of prayer. And in prayer, there is worship. Are you following what I'm saying now? So, one of the things you expect when coming to church is worship. That's again why you shouldn't be late to church. Now, this is why I'm saying to people, if the only thing you meet in church every time you come to church is the message, I tell you under God, you are missing out. You're not getting fully blessed. The only thing you meet is the message, you're not getting fully blessed. Are you what I'm saying? You're not. So where is going to come? Be here early. We start off with prayers. We'll start off with worship before the message. You know, that's not, you know, of course, prayer and worship prepares the ground for the word, but that's not the major reason. Get the point? We must have times of lifting up holy hands. Because Amos said that God is restoring the tabernacle of David. And I believe that that tabernacle of David, that prophecy has been fulfilled in the church of Jesus Christ. It's now for us to plan this house to be a house of prayer. To plan this house to be a house of worship. That's why from tomorrow I'm going to begin to talk to you guys. Why you must take your ministry very seriously in what you are doing. Singers. Very serious. Very serious. 4,000. You know, one of these days, we're going to have up to 4,000 expression members. One of these days. And 4,000 hospitality team. Do you believe? One of these days. So that when you become unserious, out of the 4,000 of them, soprano singers, 1,008. Just like that. Drama, there might be about 600 drummers ready to drum. Do you understand? 400 keyboardists. So the day you say, no, I can't come, you know, and they had their tongues. That kind of announcement. But on this Solomon's day, all of them minister together. Everybody gathered. Imagine 4,000 people gathered and are lifting up their holy hands to the Lord, singing. The priest ran away from the temple. The glory was too much. They couldn't stand there. So when we are singing the way we sing, no one of the things we do in this church, we sing a lot. And I'm like, the character of the anointing upon my life, I can hardly minister to you without a song. Hardly. When we get it, and this is actually the reason. Tomorrow, I'm going to show even the musicians the role they have to play. I'm already showing it. Because when Elisha wanted to prophesy, they came to him for prophecy. He didn't want to prophesy. I think that second case, chapter 3, I think it was 15. He didn't want to prophesy. He wasn't in the mood. He didn't even like the man that came to ask for the prophecy. But they disturbed him. He now told the guy, go back. Yes, I'm right. Go back to the previous verses. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely why is not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, because I don't value you just because of this Jehoshaphat guy. So he wasn't even in the mood to do that. He said, if not that I regard Jehoshaphat king of Judah, I will not even look at you. But anyway, bring me a minstrel. So they brought somebody, and the guy played instrument for Elisha, and the hand of the Lord came upon him. Instrumentalists and singers must know that they have a role to play in giving us that glory-filled atmosphere in church. They have a role to play. I get what I'm saying? A very big role to play. That's why singers that don't take their ministry serious are part of the reason why God doesn't move in churches, actually. You have to play tomorrow in church. You won't pray at night. You just have rehearsed my song, I'll just come up. That's why, you see, make sure they are not the one hindering the move of God in the church. Look, once I stand here, and all of you stand here with me, holding mic, holding keyboard, and whatever, you guys are, we are all, everything should come from here to the congregation. When you are not that person that God can pass through, we didn't prepare yourself for that. That's why I say tomorrow is going to school of ministry. And I'll be teaching on ministering in God's house. How to minister in the house of God. I get what I'm saying? Because God wants this place to be a house of prayer and worship. Look at what they did here. They sang, glory filled everywhere. This guy played instruments. A hand of God came upon Elisha. What was David doing for King Saul in his palace? Do you know? Yeah, we had just this in our generation, we call him a lead guitarist. He will carry it. Once a demon jumps upon King Saul and begins to torment him, once he begins to play, the demon will fly away. How you get what I'm talking about? There are levels to this thing. The guy will just begin to play, and that demon tormenting Saul will leave him, just hearing David play. What chords was it? What was it striking? I get what I'm talking about. It's not about knowing how to run scales. So as we gather here, always, once we start singing, we start worshiping, please lift up your hands. Please follow. Please shout if you're shouting. Because this is what this house is meant to be, is meant for. I thought I would have had some time. I wanted to show you how to respond to worship proper way, but I'm already doing it now. If I'm kneeling, kneel. If I'm shouting, shout. If I'm insulting, you don't need to know the song. That's the point I'm trying to make. Do you know why you don't need to know the song? You are not the object of the worship. And let me say something. People normally wonder, sir, you tell us that this church is not a tribal church, but you sing different dialects. I don't even know what you're singing sometimes. Let me tell you the reason I sing those dialects. You're not the person I'm worshiping. We sing what God wants us to sing at that time. And that's why the media team will now work hard to get the song on the screen. And if they are hard working, is as they should be, they should also put the translation of it on the screen so everybody will follow. But I know they are hard working. You get the point? But you sing what should be. It's not when I'm singing, this song again, I know it. Let me even tell you, every healthy local church has their songs. I am telling everybody, look, there are songs, it's not just on the roots. There are songs that once you start singing, somebody can tell you, attend this church. I'm telling every head local church I'm going to, they have their songs. Amen. So when you come and say, I don't know the song that I'm singing, welcome, learn it. Because you're not the one being worshipped. Always remember, I am not the one being worshipped. Say it, I'm not the one being worshipped. So, are you the one we are singing to? If what God wants us to sing now is this, you don't just stay there and start saying, I don't like what they're singing. They should sing another one that is sweet. No. It is what He wants at that time. That's why I believe that the choir should rehearse their songs before Sunday. But I believe that those songs should rehearse. You should have prayed enough to be sure those are the songs God wanted to do on Sunday before you now rehearse it on Saturday. If not, you are climbing up there to entertain yourself. I'm telling you, you just climb just to go and make noise and shout and then come down. So let us fill this place. So what's our worship? Imagine, this is the last time I'm going to say. In 2 Chronicles 5, they were all worshiping. I said they were all in one accord. Imagine we are here, we are worshiping. All of us, hands lifted up to heaven. All of us shouting at the same time. All of us singing at the same time. That's why most times when I ask them to sing, I ask the instrumentalist to stop. So that I can hear what the audience are doing. I get what I'm saying? You ask them to stop because as we are all singing, screaming, worshiping, lifting up our hands, in one accord, we see the move, the mighty, mighty move of God's Spirit at that time. Are you still here? So don't be left out. Is that okay? Don't be left out. If you're lifting hands, lift your own hands. If you're screaming, what do you do? If you're shouting, if you're dancing, that's the move of God's Spirit. How many of you, let me ask this very close. Have you ever been in an atmosphere where we are just singing and worshiping and you got your healing? You got your healing. Let me see your hand. Have you ever been around us and singing and God spoke to you in the process? Let me see your hand. You heard the voice of God. Once we are in that one accord, you find the glory of God in that place. That's something I do for meetings. My wife can tell you this. What I do for a meeting, I'm just praying. Sometimes I can just break into one song. I tell her, this song is a song for this meeting. If I come to that meeting and sing it, even if you are dead, you wake up. But you know the funny thing is, if you go to the next meeting, you sing that same song. You are looking, is it not this song that pastor sang, everyone was blowing up? You get the point? Yeah. I receive songs like Zoe and I is coming. I'm already receiving songs for the meeting. I will sing them at different times because it's God that is that we're worshiping. I sing them at different times. Once I do that, don't worry, forget it. Even if you are dead, you wake up. I get what I'm saying? At different times. At different times. Even last Sunday, after first service, was it last Sunday? I was going down the staircase and then that song, there was this song, was it last Sunday or last two Sunday? That I did that, what's that song?
Hosanna forever. I just finished ministering first service. So I was going down with my wife on the staircase, and I turned, I said, there is this song. You guys did it only once. So we didn't know the song. So when I didn't know it. So when I said, I thought, okay, that's it. Play that song for me. That's the song for the second service. You get the point? Because it's not actually what you want. It's what he wants. Worship is serious business in God's house. And maybe this is the last closing now. Worship is serious business in God's house. It's not a time to play. That's why you shouldn't be singing in God's house and then the song is sweetening you and you start shaking your bum. That's what you do with worship. That's not the time for that. It's even if the song is fast. That's what I start to say. I'm twerking in the spirit. You don't twerk in the spirit, sir. It's not a dishonorable. This is the time to do anything you want. You just do anything you like doing. Of course, can you dance very well? You should dance very well. But remember, it is serious business. Praise is serious business. It's serious business. That's why sometimes when I see people come and I see what they're doing in the name of singing, I say, do these people actually know that we are doing something serious here? It's serious business. It's serious business. It's serious business. Whether it's praise and leading, as we call it praise now. But actually, praise and worship is the same thing. It's just the speed of the song. But whichever one you are doing, even if it's rap, it is serious business. And the singer and the recipient must attack it as a serious business. So if I'm worshiping God, please be at the back there, lifting your hands. Be on your seat, bowing down. Be on your seat, don't be looking around for what is not lost. It is serious business in God's house. Serious business. In fact, this place is a serious place. Church is a serious place, right? We can laugh, but it's a serious place. That singing and worshiping, lifting hands, you are pressing your phone. No, why? Like, God no reach. For somebody, it's not up to somebody who can worship. What is on that phone? Tell me. What chat are you replying? Contract that will not click. Contracts that will not click. You didn't hear me, I said it again. Because we think it's so important. How many of you have missed somebody's call for a contract in church and went out and called the person? The person gave you the job. The person still gave you the contract. True or false? Yes. What's the problem? If I don't reply this now, no. Worship is serious business, sir. You don't know that contract that will pay you will not stress you. You know, Shay. It's not stress you. These are the ones that stress you. They will not pay you anything. I think I heard somebody say this about AirDrop. AirDrop that will pay you will not stress you. That one that says, go and watch video, watch YouTube, change your DP to cats, change it to goats. So all these things we are trying to fight, don't want to miss the money. That singing in church, say, calm down. God deserves that worship. Give that time to him. Let us dance. What is on your leg that you cannot move it? Who do you even think you are? You know, it's only in church that you're a big boy. It's only in church that you're a big boy. Outside, they are nothing. Once you come to church, just carry yourself. Dance! Nobody's going to die. This is God's house. He deserves everything we give to him. Somebody said, sir, the reason why we dance where we dance in the club is because you are drunk. We are saying the same thing. The reason we dance where we dance in church is because you are still drunk. Be not drunk with wine, wearing his excess. But we feel the Holy Ghost there. All of us are drunk. I just want to refuse to get drunk here. As you're walking into that door, bring your cup. As the opening prayer is starting, shaka bada 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 bada, speak yourself to drunkenness. When we start singing, you start dancing with us.
Didn't get the point. But somebody is drunk. It's most of what you're drinking. Somebody's using green bottles. Somebody's using green Bible. Green, green. So the important thing is get drunk. And here you drink it responsibly. Drink like you don't have sense. Oh, come on. As we are going to drink. Glory to God. When you see me at one corner, just ding, ding. Don't say what's wrong with pastor. Nothing's wrong. It's the move of the Holy Ghost. Can we lift our hands for 5 minutes and just worship God? Lift your hands, lift your voice, just worship Him. Without a song, just lift your hands, lift your voice. Give Him that attention and just worship Him with everything in you. That's how we're closing this evening. Just worship Him. He deserves that time. He deserves everything you are doing now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Please just worship Him. The heavens and the angels bow. The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy. I want us to use 5 minutes. This is 8 o'clock to 8:05. Just worship Him and then we close like that. We just close like that. So please, go ahead, go ahead. Yes. Sing it. Sing it. Just worship. Either you are speaking or you are singing. Let's
adore you this evening. We recognize what you are doing here. Thank you, Spirit of Jesus. Jadede gorunda le kasaka baratoya. Oh, we love you, Father. Take 1 minute. Just say something good to Jesus this evening. Say it in your own words. Without a song, say, bless his name for what he has done for you on the cross, for his sacrifice on the cross, for how he redeemed you, how he has loved you, how he has shown you his mercy. If you ever received anything from God, this is the time to thank him. Holy Spirit, the elders and the angels bow. We do really we worship you now.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.